Meow. 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 Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael? Can you feel it, James? Is it working?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Feel it in my fiend bone.
Check. Worms. Yeah. I'm happy today because I have brand new. Hey, James, I think you got to turn down your headphones. I'm hearing echo. I heard it from young Nick also. Nick, are you 17 now?
I am.
When did you turn 17? I heard you say that the other day.
It was August, a couple weeks ago, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, don't give out your real birthday. And
yeah. Shouldn't let people know. I almost did, but.
Because you're famous and people will bother you and camp out in your
bushes.
It's
the Freedom Fiends Child Labor Camp. Love it.
Yeah, I got new new colorful windscreens today for my mics from China. It's always a good day. So, James, you're done with your child labor tour. Where are you?
Yes, I am in Eagleville, Pennsylvania, back in my hometown.
Don't give out your real hometown.
Who says it's my real hometown?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if it's small, I'll give out my real one. I'm in Casper, Wyoming, big enough that you won't find me. And if you do, you deserve what you get.
I am in Philadelphia.
There you go. I like that. Burn, baby, burn. I watched a good documentary today on Patty Hearst. You remember Patty Hearst, don't you?
Refresh my memory.
Nick doesn't. Really?
No way.
Oh, man. You don't know
killed
what?
Killed her parents or something?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Speak up, son, like you're on radio. Barack Obama's a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. We don't like Barack Obama. He's evil.
Right. She was kidnapped and then, like, she's the
heir.
Stockholm syndrome, right?
Yeah, she's like the heir to the Hearst family fortune and was kidnapped in the 70s and became a bank robber and then later ended up marrying one of her bodyguards and being pardoned by President Clinton and then, you know, doing the talk show circuit. And she's in a couple of Roger Waters. Here's the guy from Baltimore, the filmmaker. You know, the guy that made Pretty Baby. And help me out of here, people.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
No idea.
What this is.
I have no idea. Man. All right. So
she's still around?
Yeah, but this is. I just watched a documentary about her.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is she a sympathetic character? I mean, it's like, it's hard to know. Is she a victim or a criminal or what?
You know, it's really, it was never really determined. It's, I don't think you can really say. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll cut her some slack. Why not? I mean, all she did was rob a bank, right?
Yeah. Yeah. As the leftist radical she was with called it, I think it was reappropriation or something like that. Well,
it's just redistributing.
Yeah. There's a communist word for it. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think her gun was even loaded. I don't think they trusted her. I think she was just John Waters. That's the filmmaker. She's in some of his film. Crybaby, Serial
Today,
Mom, Pecker, right. A Dirty Shame, and Cecil B. Demented. She's in those films. But
she's probably just a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Maybe, but her Shih Tzu dog won the toy category this year.
On the radio?
I knew you'd say that at the Westminster Kennel Club dog show in Madison Square Garden. I don't think you can not say that. I said it. So I want to talk about asthma. Asthma's horrible, man. Asthma is like ruining my life. People know, no one wants to hear me talk about this. I'm just like, I'm broke. I mean, we spent like $15,000 on medical everything and like fixing things up and buying equipment and, you know, trying to mitigate my asthma, and it's not mitigated. And it's, you know, going on 9 months of like, I nearly die every day. And, you know, 2 weeks ago I coughed and passed out and broke my nose. No, I broke my nose, and then a week ago I was coughing and cracked a rib. I mean, it's getting to the point where I'm like falling apart, and
damn,
I don't have the money to deal with it. And I'm stressed. My wife's stressed. Like, we don't know what to do. I'm seeing a new doctor this Friday. I'm hopeful about that, but it's like they've given me everything that they usually give asthma patients, and it's not helping. And I'm freaked out about it, kind of. Do you guys have anybody in your family with asthma?
Thankfully, no.
Couple friends, though.
Yeah. Have you ever seen anybody have an asthma attack, Nick?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe.
There's a movie that I really relate with as an asthmatic, even before mine got this bad, but I really especially. You ever seen that movie Pay It Forward?
No.
No.
It's kind of cute movie, kind of weird movie. It's Kevin Spacey and some little kid. It's basically like, it's kind of like the idea of AA. It's kind of like somebody kind of starts a movement of like doing good for others, but you have to pay it forward, which is you don't pay it back, you pay it to someone else. And it kind of becomes this like thing. And there's this scene in there that like a guy cry thinking about. It's this gangster dude. He's in the ER. He's been shot. You know, he's like, he's got a bullet in him and he's bleeding really bad. And there's this little girl in there starts having an asthma attack, and he's like telling the doctors to take her first.
Wow.
And they won't because he was in line first and he's shot and they think he needs to be treated worse. And I guess he's got like a little brother that has asthma and he pulls out a gun and points at the doctors and makes them take the girl. And
nice.
And that's kind of like, I feel like that, like, not that I want to point guns at people, but just like that's how powerless you feel. And I feel like several times a week now, I feel like I'm dying and I could die. And that's the life I've been living for the past 9 months. And I haven't really talked about it to the extent that it is, but it's really taking its toll on me and my family. And I'm despondent about it, man. And, you know, I'm not depressed at all. It's just like, you know, when I'm not anywhere near an attack, I feel pretty good and I feel hopeful. And I try to do a radio show because that's what I like to do. And when I'm having an attack or just had an attack or about to have an attack, it's like, it feels like there's a gun to my head and someone's holding me underwater. That's literally Damn. How bad it feels. And, you know, I've been having 9 or 10 of those a week for 9 months. And, I don't know, man, I've kind of like, I've hidden it and, you know, made jokes about it, made light about it, but it's gotten to the point where I just gotta like say how severe it is. And that's what I'm dealing with.
So man. I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, man, yes. Speak up like you're on radio, son.
Sorry. I appreciate hearing that. That's rough. And,
Yeah,
I know it's been rough for you. I mean, especially for those that have seen the pictures of what you've endured. And yeah, we do make jokes about it, but that doesn't mean we're not seriously concerned. And you know, I want this new doctor to come up with something, right? This is ridiculous, man. Like we need you fully functional. This crap's gone on long enough.
It really has. I want to be doing. You know, I miss doing 5 shows a week, 6 shows a week. I mean, I built this show so I could do that. Although it's been a really good kind of lesson for me in humility of like, you know, I started doing podcasting in 2006 because like I thought it was important for my voice to be heard. And, you know, I started doing this show with Nemes podcast in 2011 because I, you know, felt my voice needed to be heard and because just I needed something to do. And now it's like, I can't even be on it because it like, you know, talking is a trigger for asthma for me. And, but it's kind of been like, it's actually really kind of helped keep me together too, in that like I have something to do every day, which is like, you know, schedule it, edit it, help do stuff, you know, run the show. Like, I guess the lesson is it doesn't matter if I'm on as long as the show's on, you know?
Worms. Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah.
Yep. So we got a couple people helping out now doing editing. I've taught them to edit shows. Nathan the Ninja Squirrel, who's a regular longtime listener of The Fiends, is doing he's editing a couple shows a month. And that's really cool. And this guy named Scott Sanders, no relation to Bernie, is editing one or two shows a week, and that's gonna be really helpful for me.
Nice.
And appreciate that. Yeah, because I just can't like function and do all this work. But
I want you to be able to rest and relax, take it easy, know that, you know, The Fiends is, you know, fiend worthy, and, you know, try to remove as much of that burden as possible. So when you want to come on, it's always there for you, and, you know, let you rest and recuperate. And, you know, you got to get healed up and get back to, you know, back to the job,
fight
man.
And wait. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I do. I mean, and I'd like to be able to travel. I mean, like,
yeah,
I'd like to be able to go to Pork Fest, but like, I'm so sick I can't even go to Walmart. Like, literally, like, you know, if I go out of the house, about every third time I go out of the house, it causes me to have an asthma attack. Like, I walk by somebody and their perfume sets it off, or, you know, the chemicals in the garden center, or, you know, something sets it off.
Wow.
I almost feel like the government did something to me, but I really don't. I think I smoked 2 packs a day for 30 years while having asthma and did it to myself. And it just kind of like, you know, I finally quit smoking and quit vaping, and like, then it all came out, you know?
I'm still going to blame the government just because.
Yeah,
just
me
because.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, probably because like, in the absence of the government, I don't think cigarettes would be very cool. I don't think people would want to do them. Like, the government kind of forbids them enough that it makes them look cool.
Well, and plus, if the government wasn't in healthcare, we would be able to, like, replicate a fresh set of lungs for you every
week. I go to Walmart and pay $199 and buy new lungs.
No, you just press a button on your organ replicator 3D printer at home and be like, fresh set, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, every show. All right, here we go, man. Have a good show, you guys. It's good yakking.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Peace. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nick Hazelton. I'm here with James Babb, and we're James Babb. I think I said Bad. Sorry about that. But we're
That's
back.
Right.
And we want to talk about some inmate crew related suicides. With the you had the article, so you should bring it up so I don't butcher it.
Well, you know, you're out west, and you know I'm here on the East Coast, but I understand these forest fires are really causing some trouble out west. So maybe we should first just sort of, you know, maybe give us your perspective on what's going on with these forest fires. It's like, it's pretty bad right now.
Yeah, we're having some really bad dry weather. The first time in months we've actually had some decent rain this week, which is awesome. But before that, it's just been dry and very hot. You know, all my pasture's dead, and all the forests are catching on fire. We've had here in Oregon, we've had at least 3 pop up, and I know there's been more, but there's been at least 3 major ones. that have been terrible. And I know Washington's been hit pretty hard, and California always gets fires.
In Montana, and I've been seeing a lot. I have a friend in Montana. She's been sending me a lot of pictures, and you know, I guess it's kind of comes with the season, but it just seems particularly bad this year. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems bad to me.
I think it is. Yeah, my mother works on a lot of those fires, and she's been gone quite a bit more often than usual.
Really?
On those. Yeah.
Wow, cool mom.
Yeah, she does the logistics planning, all the food stuff for them.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah, well, I saw this article, and this is in The Guardian, and it totally blew me away. The headline says, "Escape casts spotlight on Washington use of juvenile inmates to fight wildfires." Okay? And evidently, 16-year-olds, possibly kids younger than that, are recruited to fight forest fires. Okay, juveniles, okay, like kids in jail, they say, hey, you want to go outside? We need this, like, incredibly dangerous job. You're going to go out and fight forest fires and risk your life, and we're going to pay you the usual prison wage, which is like 1 cent an hour, something like horrible, yeah, okay? Yeah. Here it is. They actually get between 70 cents and $1.60 per day.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm calling that straight up child slavery. I don't see any other way of looking at that. That's just slavery, okay? You're like, yeah, we've made prison life so horrible for the children that even going into a hellish, fiery inferno for 70 cents a day is an improvement, okay? That is not a choice, okay? That is not consent. That is straight up slavery. So evidently this one kid, this 16-year-old inmate, had was part of one of these work camps doing this, and he escaped. Okay, good for him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, you're damn right you should escape. Okay, like, it's a slave's duty to escape. Okay, he was doing the right thing as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, he escapes. The next day, the police find him on a nearby road and attempted to apprehend him. He pulled out a .22 caliber revolver and, according to the article, after a brief interaction, shot himself in the head. Okay? It's hard to believe. Now, it says the teen survived, but the program that deploys young inmates to help fight wildfires was placed on hold. That's what it took to shine a spotlight on using child slaves to fight forest fires. What the heck? I mean,
Gee,
you know, what do you think about that, Nick? I mean, these guys are your age. I mean, these would be your peers. You know, how would you handle that kind of a situation?
I honestly have no idea, but I would probably want to be on one of those inmate crews being in that situation, just because, you know, you do have a higher chance of being able to escape. You would hope that you wouldn't be caught like he was, and that's super unfortunate. I know at least one person, one of my friends, who has been gone to jail, and like that's a stressful situation for not only himself and his family, but some of us, right? That's not fun when that happens to anybody, and especially for victimless crimes. And if, I mean, like you said, right? That's slave labor, and that's not really okay.
Child slavery. No, yeah. There is what kind of human being would justify that? Well, I'll give you one human being. Here's a quote from the article from a monster named Jennifer Redman, a probation officer with Washington's Juvenile Services.
Freedom Fiends, she said, with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm James Babb, and I'm with Nick Hazelton.
Hey.
I just talked over the break. We were really getting into something that I think is kind of dreadful. It's this child slavery by the state of Washington to put out forest fires. And I'm just horrified by this story. And we were, right before the break, we were saying, like, you know, who could possibly support the idea of taking children, paying them 70 cents a day to fight forest fires? Okay. And of course, the alternative is for them to remain in a jail cell. Okay. Like, it's so barbaric. And here's one of the monsters that thinks this is great. According to this article in The Guardian, her name is Jennifer Redmond, a probation officer with Washington's quote unquote juvenile services. She said that we're hopeful the state will, quote, get this program back up and running so we can deploy again. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is a monster. Okay? That is not a human being that would say something like that. That is just ridiculous. But, hey, you know, that's the justice system, right? So these,
right.
Yeah, these guys do a 14-day rotation. Okay? And it can be extended up to 21 days straight, okay? And they start before dawn, and they go into the evening, like 16-hour days for 70 cents for children, okay? Now, I realize, Nick, that you know, you're a young man, and you're actually making less than 70 cents a day to do Freedom Fiends. But I think the risk is a tad lower. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my mom works on with those crews, and fighting fires is hard work. I mean, not only does it take a long time to put out one of those fires, and you spend a lot of time on the line if you're up there. It's hard. It's really, really hard. I compared to what I'm doing here, I'm sitting on my bed with a microphone in front of me, and I'm doing just fine. You know, I think 70 cents is a little bit too much for me to be paid doing this. If,
you know, and it's just, of course, the alternative, right? It's the alternative of being in a jail cell. First of all, what kind of barbarians put children in jail cells anyway? Like, it's just... There's so many different levels of horror to this story that I don't even know, you know, how to approach this. You know, it's like, oh, we made life so miserable in a child gulag that they're willing to fight forest fires for 16 hours a day, 21 days straight for 70 cents a day. I mean, really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I don't know exactly how to come at it either. It's just like... Why are we doing this?
Well, we aren't doing it,
that's
number
right.
one.
Thank
we
you.
Are not doing it. We do not enslave children. We do not put children in cages. This is definitely a them doing it. This is a them. These are people that believe in the state. They believe in the power of government to run our lives. This is what you get. This is the end result of the belief in this higher power called government. This is their religion in action, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, the child sacrifice. And it's really unfortunate because, I mean, we don't know anything about the inmate as far as I know. But statistically, the guy's probably was in for a marijuana-related charge.
Yeah. And statistically, that really more than half of the people in jail are there for victimless crimes. So, You know, and I don't even care if he was there for a violent crime. He's a child, okay? Like, that's not going to... Are you trying to help a child by putting him in a forest fire? Really? No. Not buying that one for a second. But it's for the children. Oh, it's for the children. No. No, it's for slave labor, okay? Insane. You know, yeah. Makes me think of that. I don't know if you've seen the cartoon where it's like they're people are huddled around a volcano and they're like, well, you know, yeah. Or you know, it's like, yeah, you know, I don't like the child sacrifice, but, you know, it's the only system we have.
That's exactly right.
I don't know. So your fields are dry. What are the yaks eating? Do you have to? Are you bringing in hay for them, or how do you feed your yaks when it's this dry?
I am. They still have a little bit that they can scrounge around, but it's, you know, it's not great. So I'm feeding hay right now.
Nice. And you are the anarcho yakitalist. Did I have that correct?
Yes, I am. That may you. I don't know how many times you said that, but most people cannot do it on their first time. You probably practice before the show. Make sure you got it right.
Practice? Get it right? No. I just wing it. Yeah.
Okay. I respect that.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's a play on anarcho-capitalists, and most anarcho-capitalists can't say yakitalist.
Well, you're the only one I know of, so.
I hope I'm the only one.
What? It's not I'm assuming it's going to be a trend, you know. I'm sure there's already many, many other imitators out there.
It depends on how you define yakitalist, and, there is no very strict definition, so...
How do you define yakitalist?
I say anarcho-yakitalism is like anarcho-capitalism, but with more yaks. Or I think I may have said a few times it's leaner than anarcho-capitalism.
Okay.
With reference to the meat of yaks. Yak meat is leaner than beef.
Have you ever eaten a yak?
I have had yak before. I have not slaughtered my own, but... actually, tomorrow, one of my bulls is being picked up, and we're going to start selling some packaged meat in the next coming months.
Interesting, but you're not going to do the butchering yourself?
No, I'm not experienced enough. I don't even know.
That's advanced.
I don't have space to hang one of those animals.
Yeah, that's advanced anarcho-yakitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's agoro-yakitalism. Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for that. But speaking of children in the justice system, there was another story I read. I don't know if you saw this one. A 17-year-old American was sentenced to 11 years in prison for tweets. Okay? Yeah, for tweeting something. Did you know you could get 11 years in jail for a child? Okay? And... You know, 17 years old now. Granted, you are, you know, you present yourself as an adult. I treat you as an adult, but I don't know, you know, is this guy an adult? Is he, you know, 17 years old seems a little bit young to go to jail for 11 years. And who should go to jail for a tweet anyway?
Under speech? Isn't that classified under speech?
Evidently not. But, they said he was providing material support to terrorism, okay? Now, according to this article, now it is Gizmodo, but I'm sure it's linking to something more substantial, thehill.com. It said he never committed violence in the name of radical Islamic terrorism. His crime was running a Twitter account.
Gene phone. Gene phone.
First Amendment. Are you back with us, James? Are we back? I can't tell.
Are we? I heard somebody fiend phoning in.
Okay, no. Was that me who dropped out?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
It's the NSA. They can't handle this.
They don't want us to talk about how the government is very much fine with going against their founding document.
Yeah, so freedom of speech. In fact, I was just having this conversation with somebody tonight, and he was saying, like, look, you know, I know the Constitution doesn't mean anything, but this concept of freedom of speech is, as, you know, without the Constitution, we wouldn't even have this as like a cultural value in our country. And in other countries, they don't even respect it. They won't even get mad when the freedom of speech is violated. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I hear these stories about people going to jail for posting stuff on Facebook and Twitter. And I think this really sort of cements it. The guy had 4,000 followers. Now, let's just say this Twitter account was offensive or up to no good or whatever. You know what the right answer is? It's for Twitter to say, hey, that's our private property. We don't really support this, or we're closing it down, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that would be fine. And that should be the end of it. And then he could go onto MySpace and promote ISIS, okay? I don't like, why does this happen, right? Why does this, you know... It's shocking to say that anybody should go to jail for a tweet. I don't care what you say in a tweet. I don't see how that is a jailable offense. Like, man, you must be really good at tweeting.
No, that's exactly right. And it doesn't matter who he's supporting. You know, it's not about what he's saying. It's about that he should be able to say it. Because, I mean, it sets a precedence. When we can jail people for saying things contrary to the government's agenda, then now it happens to be against ISIS, and when it later becomes against something else, now we're going to be able to be jailed for talking about private property, you know, like you and I are doing now.
Right. Like, am I saying, like, for all we know, like, we're just as guilty as he was. So, like, wait a minute. They're providing material support for a guy that provided material support on it with a Twitter feed. They talked somewhat favorably about a guy who had a Twitter account. Whoa. Better call 911, you know, like, Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. It's, I mean, that's the price we pay for doing talk radio, isn't it? But no, it's totally ridiculous when that happens. And it's the thing that upsets me the most is why aren't white people in outrage about this? And plenty of people are, to be fair.
Worse.
We'll be back. The market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Fiends. I'm Nick Hazelton, and I'm here with James Babb. How are you doing?
Awesome.
Great. And we're talking about a 17-year-old who was arrested for some tweets he posted about ISIS. He's supporting ISIS. And I guess he's also helping people donate Bitcoin to ISIS as well. Is this a little bit more of a serious case against him now then?
Well, evidently. And he was not just arrested, convicted and sentenced to 11 years in prison for his tweets. And yeah, evidently he was like giving out the Bitcoin address for ISIS. So I don't know what that is. I guess if I find out that Bitcoin address, I'll post it in the show notes. I mean, no, I'm not suggesting. Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting people send money to ISIS because they're just another government, right?
Yeah,
they're right. You know, they're just not as big as Uncle Sam, but you know, sounds like from what I know, they've got. I mean, it's called the Islamic State. That's enough. That's all I need to hear right there to be against it, because it has the word state in it. That's why are you against ISIS? Because it's the Islamic State. OK, now, if they called it the Islamic Club, the Islamic family, I could care less what they call it. The Islamic Lions Club. I'm all for that. Send the Islamic Lions Club your Bitcoin, not the Islamic State. But anyway, you know, there was some, you know, it's like you just have to laugh because it really shows you how desperate the U.S. federal government is to prosecute anybody, right? Like they're so desperate to catch a bad guy. We're catching these. We're going to get them terrorists. You know, you're with us or you're against us. See, look, we got one. Look, he tweeted something and we got him. Like, whoa. Nice going, guys. You know, that justifies the war on terror, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's insane, but that's the way that's, you know, they're like, yep. Yep, we're doing our jobs, you know, through the Joint Terrorism Task Force remains dedicated to protecting the United States against the ongoing violent threat. they take themselves seriously, I guess. They probably go home and tell the kids, hey, did you know what I did today? I caught that kid who was tweeting. Yep, we nailed him. Woo-hoo, high five.
It's like, yeah, do they don't, I guess they just don't have anything better to do. And it kind of goes to show that how unnecessary they probably are.
Completely worthless, you know, not doing anything to protect us, right? You know, just.
Yeah, that's right. If they have time to go after kids tweeting, I mean, do they have anything actually serious to work on? No.
Well, I guess all the murderers and rapists and, you know, and actual, you know, people that have committed violence, I guess they've already taken care of all of them, or they're employing them all. So who knows? You know, but, you know, it reminds me of another story. I don't know if you've been following this. Nick, have you been following the plight of Ross Ulbricht and the alleged Silk Road mastermind?
Very loosely. I don't follow the news.
Well, you know, it's something that's been very important to me. And Ben Stone and I did an interview with Lynn Ulbricht, Ross's mother, recently, and that's on the Freedom Fiends website, where people can learn more about this if they haven't heard it. But Ross was accused of running this website called the Silk Road, which was basically a free market website where people could voluntarily interact with each other and conduct business and pay for items with Bitcoin and you know, strictly voluntarily. When we get back from the marker, we're going to get into this a little bit more, but there's a very interesting development involving some of the agents who were investigating Ross.
The second hour. Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, Hour 2. Broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So that means anybody can reuse the Freedom Fiends except the government. So, welcome back, Nick.
Hey.
So, we were talking about some interesting developments in the Ross Ulbricht situation with the alleged mastermind of Silk Road. Okay, so Ross Ulbricht was convicted, got multiple life sentences, okay? Multiple life sentences with no hope for parole, okay, for running a website. Okay, but evidently people maybe sold drugs on this website, so this was deemed to be completely unacceptable. Now, from my understanding, during the prosecution, or during the trial, the defense said, hey, Ross started this website, but there were multiple administrators of this thing over the years. This is something that he started as a free market experiment. But you can't say that he, you know, was the one that was responsible for all of this stuff. So, and the prosecutor's like, nope, he was the sole administrator. He's the one that did it all. It's him, Ross, and people did drugs, and drugs are bad, and he's got to go to jail forever. And we got to really, anyway. Now, during this trial, there was a investigation because some of the investigators, okay, had become criminals, okay? So the headline today is former Silk Road task force agent pleads guilty to money laundering and obstruction. Basically, these were the people that were investigating Ross. Okay, and whose testimony was used to convict him. According to this plea agreement, this guy named Bridges admitted that in January of 2013, he used an administrator account on the Silk Road website, okay, to obtain access to the website, reset passwords, and remove 20,000 bitcoins. Okay. 20,000 bitcoins, which it says at the time were worth approximately $350,000. Okay. Now, so these people are like, oh, it's Ross. Meanwhile, here's another guy who had administrator privileges and obviously had an agenda of his own. Okay. This information was not, the fact that these guys were under investigation during Ross's trial was kept secret from the jury. They were not allowed to mention this to the jury. Okay. This is the American justice system we have. Okay. I mean, can you believe their arrogance?
It's astounding. Wow. That's just crazy. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. I mean, of course, the official investigators also stole like huge quantities of Bitcoin, but they stole it for the government. So that was fine. Okay. I mean, for
just
any
taxation.
Yeah, right. That's just, you know, we just take stuff, but you know, but when the takers take from the other takers, whoa, now there's an investigation. Right, it's like when you know one of the one of the gang members, you know, takes a little more of cut than he was supposed to get, right? They don't like that. That's not gonna go over with the crime boss.
Yeah, that's right.
So welcome to the U.S. justice system. They put 17-year-olds in jail for tweets. They take this, you know, Ross Ulbricht is a young man. You know, I think he's in his 20s. Okay, a brilliant entrepreneur, creative. You know, from what I understand, a principled libertarian, you know, solid guy, great family, you know, and they're like, yeah, let's put him in a cage forever because he ran a website. Meanwhile, yeah, I wonder what this guy's going to get, right? Here's a guy that actually stole stuff. He'll probably get a slap on the wrist, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably hardly anything.
I don't know.
Because selling drugs is worse than theft.
You know, it's hard to understand why, you know, like why they came down so hard on Ross. You know, it's like, what did he really do that was a threat to the establishment, right? It's like he got a tougher sentence than like Charles Manson, okay? Mass murderers, you know, do better with sentencing than he did. So what exactly did he do? Was it, I think it's, you know, and it's hard to say. It might have just been because they could steal all this Bitcoin. He became a target. They're like, yeah, we'll just take everything. But maybe the idea, you know, the idea of a free marketplace scares the crap out of them. I think that's a bigger threat to them than murderers, thieves, rapists, people conducting business without giving the man a cut. It scares the hell out of them. That's my theory, at least. What do you think, Nick?
I totally agree. I mean, if it's totally unregulated, the Silk Road, and there's no way to really regulate it, so it leaves the government with an area of the market that they cannot control. And of course, I don't think they can really control many parts of the market very effectively in any way. But still, it's blatantly obvious to everybody else too, the mainstream public, that this is the black market online, and it's accessible to everybody, and they don't like that at all.
Yeah, and it was wildly successful, and even though they shut his website down, or the website that he at least started, how many imitators have cropped up since then? Dozens, scores. You know, it's like they can crush a man, but they cannot crush the ideas. The ideas are out there, right? It's known now, okay? And yeah, the next level, hopefully they're going to be a little more careful than Ross was. Hopefully they'll be a little bit better security, more innovation to protect the users. But you know, the pioneers always get the arrows in their back, and that's where Ross is right now.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, it's you know, it's super unfortunate. And yeah, like I said, I haven't really followed it very closely, but you know, Free Talk Live has been talking about this, and a lot of people have been talking about this for as long as it's been going on. I don't know how long. It's been at least a year, right?
Yeah, well, he was in jail for more than a year, just waiting trial, and then his trial was back in January, and I think he was sentenced, well, I don't know, when was he sentenced? May or before that, and so I don't know. You know, what do you do with it in that situation? Now, there is an appeal, and if people go to freeross.org, they can support the appeal. And you know, sometimes weird things happen, and like all the shenanigans with the trial, you know, sometimes it means something to a different judge, and somebody might say, yeah, we got at least, yeah, you know, we got the Bitcoin, but let's just pretend we have some kind of justice system here that's not a total sham, and they might cut him a break. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Sure. But I mean, it's just a terrible situation. You know, that's, you know, that ruins somebody's life, and it ruins their family's life. It's really unfortunate.
I know. And there, you know, and of course he's one in a million. You know, it's not like he's the only guy that's had his life ruined for bogus charges by this quote unquote monopoly justice system that's supposed to, you know, find the truth and be fair and give every possible break to defendants to prove their innocence. No, no.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
And, but, you know, go on.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous, these victimless crimes, and these people don't deserve to be in prison. And one of the things that makes me upset is that, as far as I know, and maybe I haven't done enough research, but you know, we just legalized marijuana here in Oregon. I didn't have anything to do with it. I can't vote in any way. But I don't think the people who are in jail for marijuana-related charges were released this summer.
Wow.
And it's like... It's ridiculous, right? So, you know, even if some of the stuff that Ross did, like trafficking drugs, became legal, he'd be still in there because the state is not looking out for the best for society. They're just looking out for their own interest, if every single politician in there.
That's right? Always the case, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess that's why I'm always a little suspicious of the whole legalization. I guess you call it a movement. And, you know, on one hand, I'm really glad to see less people getting arrested for something, right? Like, I can't help but be excited, you know, that some people now don't have to live in constant fear of being arrested, okay, in some places under certain circumstances. You know, this it's a slightly better situation, but... What I'm afraid of is that they're going to say, okay, we're legalizing weed. We're going to, you know, you've all told us to tax and regulate it, right? Because that was the argument the legalizers were making, right, from the get-go. They're like, hey, you can make all this tax money, right? Why don't you legalize it? You can tax us. We want to be taxed. Come and take our money, right? So they beg for it. Now they're getting it, okay? Now states like Colorado are saying, oh my God, we got all this money. Woohoo! We don't even know what to do with all this tax loot. Okay. Well, what are they going to, they got to spend it on something. It's probably going to be more prisons, probably going to be more cops. Right.
Yeah.
Then they're like, well, what's, how are we going to stuff the jails now? You know? Oh, well, I don't know. That guy tweeted, put him in jail. You know? Oh, that guy ran a website. No, let's put him in jail. Right? They'll just find new classes of criminals. Right? Since the fundamental principles haven't really changed, it's not like they said, you know, it's not like there's just been awakening that says, you know, humans own themselves. You know? So we can get back to that after this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nick Hazelton, and I'm here with James Babb. And I have a special announcement I'd like to make. Michael said I could brag about it on the show. My show, Anarcho-Yakitalism Podcast, that I run, is now on the Liberty Radio Network.
And, nice.
It's super exciting for me. This has been kind of the main goal with the show, is to have a to be able to get on there, and there were some requirements that I had to do, and had to have so many consecutive shows, and then sent it out to Ian, and he's put me on the rotation now. I'm not quite up on the program guide, but that's super exciting, and I'm really happy about that.
It's outstanding, and of course you deserve it. I mean, come on.
Thank you.
When can people hear it on LRN?
Whenever the podcast, it's part of the podcast feed, the weekly podcast or whatever it is that,
okay,
that they play. So they play those on some sort of loop at certain times during the day. I don't remember what times. So I'll have to go and check.
What's your website for that?
It is an-yak.com. That's an-yak.com.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'm really pumped about it. But I think yesterday I was on the Freedom Fiends again, and we talked about doing the podcasting stuff, and it's really been quite a fun ride. And I'm super grateful. So thank you to everybody that listened to the show, and especially thanks to Michael, who put so many hours into making my show work, as well as the Fiends.
This is a teaching hospice, as he often reminds us. So
yeah, that's right.
That's great news, man. I'm really excited about that, because I know how hard you've worked and I know you've been developing your skills and really perfecting your craft, and especially for a young man, you're so far ahead of the curve that can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, and it's really great to be able to start at this age. I mean, people tell me, "Oh, that's so amazing! You get to do it at this young age." And
any age, it's great. You know, it's not because you're young; it's great. It's great, but it's just you just have a great head start. That's what makes that cool.
No, that's exactly right. So it's really awesome, and it's really cool to be part of this. Learning hospital, I guess.
The teaching hospice.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's good stuff. So, and I've learned a lot too. Really, Michael's done a great job of teaching all of us so much, about radio, about, now he's teaching, people how to edit the show, and he's really... he's really put his personal ego aside to make this show, so much bigger than it could be with, just revolving around one person. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, and if you know Michael well enough, that's pretty probably hard for him. it's an amazing thing he's got set up here, and it's really great that I get to be part of it.
Yeah, and you know what? This is actually our first time hosting together. It's a great opportunity for me to, finally the Fiend Central Computer, algorithm has paired us together as hosts. So that's super fun, and but because I've heard you so many times, it's not like you're a stranger, so.
Yeah, no, you kind of feel this like about all the Fiends hosts. I don't actually know how many people I've been on shows with, because it seems like I've had conversations with everybody. I can tell when I haven't done a show with somebody.
Basically, if you're not a Fiends co-host by now, you're probably not a real libertarian. That's what I'm thinking. Like,
yes, I don't even know how many there are of us anymore.
It's all of us.
It's everybody in the Liberty Movement,
right? The audience is the other hosts when they're not hosting. So,
yeah, there you go.
But it really could be that way. It's like I'm joking, but it's like we're no different than everybody else. We're just, I don't know. Michael just gave us a cool opportunity, so here we are.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
But right. Anyway, we didn't quite finish talking about Ross Ulbricht and what a horrible travesty of justice that situation was. But I guess that's it for this segment. How about that? We'll have to get to the market and we'll get back to that. We'll be right back.
listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, isolating and supporting your freedom sacrum and removing your statist fish burps. I'm James Babb and I'm here with Nick. All right, Nick, how's it going?
I'm good.
Do you have any statist fish burps that need removing?
Fortunately, no.
Does your freedom sacrum need supporting or isolating?
It may need a little bit support.
Hey, you know, we were talking about how ridiculous the justice system is. Have you been following the situation in Denver where some guys were passing out jury nullification pamphlets and got arrested? This is maybe a month or two ago. Did you follow that story?
I do believe I heard about it. I don't know if I read anything.
Oh, this story is great, okay? Because I mean, it's not great for the people that got arrested. They're facing multiple felonies for standing on a public sidewalk passing out a 100% truthful pamphlet, okay? Mm-hmm. But remember, we've already covered in this show how great the freedom of speech is in this country. So anyway, these guys get arrested for passing out pamphlets. Now, immediately, the Streisand effect kicks in, okay? Oh. So basically, some grumpy people, you're like, oh, these jurors might find out they have a right to say not guilty if they disagree with the law. So they're so afraid people are going to find out about this, they make a stink, and now it's front page news on the Denver Post, and it's covered on the Denver TV stations, and now it's actually a nationwide story, okay? So a group of people, including the Fully Informed Jury Association, worked with a lawyer to ask for an injunction from a federal judge to stop arrests for this. They said, okay, these local jerks are trying to stifle freedom of speech. Hey, you federal jerks, can you do something about it? They're like, sure, we do. Well, it's okay, it's now, you know, an injunction. Well, anyway, these local guys are still did it, and they went and they like confiscated a bunch of pamphlets from these people and took like their like jug of water, and they said, well, we didn't know if that was gasoline or not. We don't know what you're doing, you know.
Do you know what gasoline smells like?
Could you tell the difference between water and gasoline? Evidently not. So anyway, so the more they make a stink about it, the bigger it gets. And I just saw this like this latest article, and now their attorney general is asking, please allow us to permanently ban things like this. We're so concerned that we need a permanent ban. Oh, please, bigger government, allow us to to stifle free speech on public sidewalks. And again, now it's like, now here's another huge article. explaining what jury nullification is, showing their banners, showing their signs. It's like the more they get grumpy about it, the more people find out about it. So
yeah,
kudos to those folks in Denver for doing this. I my hat is off to them.
Absolutely. That's, you know, that's bravery. So I thank them for their service.
Yeah. But, you know, that's it's neat when the, you know, and the stupid tyrants, their little things backfire on them, you know. That happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it's kind of surprising, because I have done a little bit of jury nullification activism. Like, I went out one day. I actually got credit for this in school for a leadership class. I know, it was awesome. My dad, the director of the school, thought it was ridiculous. I tried to do it on marijuana legalization.
Okay.
This was like a couple years ago. I don't know when it was. But since it was affiliated with the school, couldn't do that. But I got...
Why not?
Well, the school said I couldn't do it. They said I could not do that.
Is this a government school?
Yes. Well, it's a charter school, which is a public-funded school, yeah.
Okay. But it has a little bit more leeway than a regular government school.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So, like, you can't have a political view like legalizing marijuana. That would be anarchy. Whoa.
Well,
do I understand that correctly?
Well, I have done presentations on just that in school. So I don't know what their issue is. I think their issue is that I'm going out in public and representing, that's in quotation marks, the school.
You're going to ruin the image of our school.
That's right.
Did you succeed in ruining the image of the school anyway?
No, unfortunately. I've done that on my show enough, so I got back at them.
Okay. So you chose jury nullification activism. So tell me more about what you did.
Yeah, I printed off some brochures off of FIJA.org. Is that the address?
Yeah, Fully Informed Jury Association. Yeah, FIJA.org.
All right, cool. I was making sure I know that. I grabbed some of those and printed out maybe 30, and I went down to the Benton County courthouse here in Oregon. And it was actually a little too late. I don't know the court schedules, and it was after school one day. So there weren't any jurors coming in and out, but there were people going by. And we handed out a good number of them, and we actually had some good conversations with some people, some of me and my buddies who did the project.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's something I like to do from time to time. I've done it at, you know, maybe a dozen different courthouses over the years, and at different, and I think it's great. You know, it's easy. It's something anybody can do. You know, and you can, if you go in the morning, like when people are showing up, you can be out of there in an hour. And just, you know, I recommend people go in pairs, but I'll do it by myself at like a courthouse I'm familiar with, and I've sort of broken them in. But I do recommend that people, you know, you're in proximity to a lot of the badged class, so you have to have your, you know, your safety protocols.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to have a video camera. You have to have the secondary video camera. You have to be ready, because sometimes they do get grumpy, you know, and I'd say it's the exception rather than the rule, because you hear about these cases like Denver, and there's other cases where a certain judge just, ooh, they get mad. Ooh, that's because you're directly challenging their authority. You're telling a juror, hey, if you think that law is dumb, you just say not guilty. You know, if you think that the penalty's too high, you say not guilty. If you're sitting there and you've been kept in the dark by the prosecutor and judge that won't let you hear anything to help you make up your mind, you just say not guilty, because it's like they're hiding stuff. So, This is a direct challenge to this like complicated system they've built, you know, to generate convictions. It's a conviction generating machine is what it is. They're like, they've carefully structured every step, but there's that little wild card, the juror, you know, and without the juror, they don't get to pretend it's legitimate anymore. So they still bring in these people, but man, they really make the having jurors really pisses them off. It really just like, ooh, we can't necessarily control them, but they'll try. They certainly don't want them knowing they have rights. And but it's easy to do, you know, and I think people should, you know, would find it rewarding. And I've done lots of different kinds of libertarian activism and, you know, over the years, you know, everything from, you know, I tried to political angles, you know, early on. I tried, you know, rallies and, you know, public education and this and that. And, you know, it's like, what really is going to make a difference? You know, what's really going to have an impact on somebody's life? And then you realize, you know what? All you need is one juror to say not guilty on some stupid, idiotic drug case, you know, or some victimless crime, you know, BS. One juror just says, nah, no, not guilty. That defendant goes home. You know, that's like, that's results, you know, and I've actually seen that happen. And, you know, everything else that libertarians do, it's kind of theoretical. We're sort of hoping for some change. We're trying to educate people, trying to create a movement to, you know, to get change. Well, that's real. You know, that's like one guy not going to a cage. That's huge to me. So,
yeah, that's really awesome.
So I hope hopefully more people will do it. And now, thanks to those jerk offs in Denver, even at the prosecutor's office and the attorney general, they're helping even more people find out about jury nullification.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really, I mean, that's, yeah, it is terrible that they were arrested for it. But I mean, yeah, there is some silver lining there, which is pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
They'll be okay. They'll be okay in the end. And you know, it was. I had done some these billboard campaigns. I've done a couple billboard campaigns at different courthouses. Mm-hmm. And this was in Washington, D.C. I guess it was back, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. So we had these billboards in the subway at Judiciary Square and another the subway stops by the big courthouse in D.C., this big court complex. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I thought, you know, there's going to be some pretty good traffic in there. But one day at some murder trial or something, the prosecutor says to the judge, hey, but there's these billboards and I don't know. Can we make sure that these jurors didn't see the billboard? OK. And the judge is like, well, I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I don't maybe. And but meanwhile, there's a Washington Post reporter in the like observing the trial. Now, the Washington Post reporter is going, billboards? What? Jury nullification? What the heck is that? So he ends up, you know, investigating this. Now, this is a story. And they run a picture of the billboard on the front page of the Washington Post. Mm. Like, thank you. Then now it's in Washington Post. Now NPR does a nationwide story on it. You know, now it's on the TV. You know, now I'm getting interviews. Now I'm on TV. Like, yeah, you know, I love that Streisand effect.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
So you think they'd learn not to get grumpy when we do stuff. You know, it just makes it worse for them.
It just shows the inefficiency of the state, man.
They can't even figure that out.
That's right. Back to the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, the final segment here. I'm Nick Hazelton, and I'm here with James Babb. And we were talking about some activism, and especially related to jury association, the Fully Informed Jury Association, kind of the some of the stuff we've done. And we ended off talking about one of James' stunts with billboards and subways, and how he got some national press through doing that. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. But, you know, we've had a good time, I think, making fun of lots of statist jerks today. The justice system has been a particularly hilarious topic tonight, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
It would be funnier if there weren't like millions of victims rotting in cages thanks to these guys, you know?
Yep, but, that's true.
I think we did a good job of having about as much fun as you can with such a dark topic.
Yeah, I think so. I think we did a good job at keeping it light, though. Maybe it doesn't deserve to be so light.
Yeah, well, you know, it's important to remember that, you know what, these people, especially, I think it's good to highlight them when they act like, you know, like they're like the idiots that they are, right? Because so much of what they do is controlled and scripted, and the media always paints them in a certain light. And the reality is they're bumbling fools, stumbling around in the dark, just swinging their gun, pointing it at everybody, firing shots into the dark, and just, you know, occasionally they hit somebody, and they're like, hey, we got that blogger. Look how good we are. It was worth all those years of investigating. Yeah, that guy tweeted and we got him. Woohoo! Yeah, high five. These guys deserve ridicule. They deserve to be ridiculed and laughed at and scorned and shunned. And if they walk into your coffee shop, you should ask them to please leave. They are not fit for normal human interactions, in my opinion.
Yep, I completely agree. That's kind of the best way to do it, is to make fun of it, right?
It really is. I mean, first of all, we got to remember, why are these guys there, right? Like, they're there not because, you know, I mean, they're sort of fulfilling a market need, right? People say, well, I guess I really need somebody to rule over me and boss me around and take my money and tell me what to do and keep me from hurting myself. And right, as long as people say that, there's going to be some jerk willing to step up and say, well, I guess if you really need someone to rule you, I guess I'll volunteer for that job, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we ridicule them and we make fun of them and expose them, you know, what we're really doing is making fun of the idea that this is legitimate, that this is somehow a good idea, and that people need rulers. Like, you don't need these bumbling buffoons running your life. We don't need them providing security. We don't need them providing quote unquote justice, because they can't and they never will.
Yeah, and evidence would show that. Absolutely. Their track record is just terrible.
Every time. I mean, every single time. Every, you know, it's like, it's kind of fun when I meet somebody that's a sort of like first, you know, their first experience with any government agency, right? It could be their local thing. It could be the state. It could be the first trial they follow. It could be a, you know, some bill they decided they want passed, and they sort of, you know, they sort of like, you know, peek under the, you know, under the lid to see what's in there. And it's always shock and horror. It's always like, oh my God, I had no idea. Like, it's It's like a fractal, you know, like a fractal. You can like look at it at any, like you can zoom in or zoom out and it looks the same. Yeah. Government's the same way. You go to your local zoning board, like straight up to the, I guess the UN. It's the same. It's the same story at any magnification.
That's exactly right. Pleasure being on with you, James. This was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about time. We'll, you know, definitely look forward to being on with you again. And hearing your new podcast on LRN, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Anarcho-yakitalists.
Oh, yeah.
Worms.